So we will now turn to our text, which is from Matthew chapter 11, which is on page 816 in the Blue Visitor Bibles. And we'll read verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So far the reading. Let's come to God in prayer now. Lord, as we've opened your word, would you teach us by your Holy Spirit? Would you convict and remake and rebuild us into the image of your Son? Father, by the power of your Spirit, would you carry these words to proclaim the truth and penetrate hearts for your glory, so that we might be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. So the sermon was written by the Reverend Eric Stolter of the Reformed Church of Dunedin and is entitled "Rest for the Weary, the One Who Gives Rest." So this is the second sermon of seven on the verses that we just read. So back in January, I read the first sermon in the series, but that was a while ago, so I will refresh what we covered last time. We looked at restlessness. What is it and what does it look like? The restlessness that we all have and struggle with. We're all looking for satisfaction. We're looking for happiness, but we can't find it reliably in ourselves. That's a given. We can't find it in ourselves, so we have to look somewhere else. We have to search for it and find it elsewhere. And so we're chasing, we're following after, we're looking for that satisfaction and happiness. We're restless, labouring and toiling for contentment. Here are some of the causes of restlessness that we looked at. There's first of all the burden of sin. Then there's the burden of excessive law-keeping. Not only do we have the law, but we add our own laws, and then we think if we keep them, then our life will be much better. There's this idea of self-validation. We've got to validate our lives. We've got to have meaning and give purpose to our lives. We chase after our addictions. We chase after love and happiness. And this isn't, as it were, just out there in the world. This is in us, in Christian circles, in life in the church. We can be so busy with all the things that we do that it becomes a drudgery and we become wearied by it. And it's in the midst of this that Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest." Now, the following sermons in the series explain what this rest looks like. What is it and how do we get it? But today, I want us to see who is the one who gives us this rest. So who is the one who gives us this rest? And the answer is kind of easy, isn't it? I'm sure most of the children would know as well as we read through this. If I were to ask you who's given us this rest, you'll say, well, it's Jesus, which is true. But who is this Jesus and is he trustworthy? There are a lot of false advertisers and scams out there nowadays. You've got to read the small print. Reverend Stolter gives an example of where he's rung up by one of those telemarketers who started off saying, "Look, I'm ringing on behalf of such and such a charity, but I'm not going to be asking you for any money today. I just want to tell you about our charity." So you sort of think to yourself, okay, well, I can listen to that. If he was going to be asking for money, I'd probably hang up, but I can handle learning about a cause. And so I started talking about this charity, and you think, well, that's wonderful what they're doing, and so on. But then as he went on, he was starting to say, it's a great charity, isn't it? It's It's a good charity to support, isn't it? Now you're starting to think, well, where's this going? And he said, look, all we're really asking for is $20 a month. And so I'm wondering if we can get your credit card details and blah, blah, blah. And they go like that. And it's frustrating because you started off and you said you weren't going to be asking for any money today. And when Eric replied, you said you weren't going to be asking for any money today, he realized what the marketer had done. Because he said, you'll only be charged on the 20th of next month. In other words, you weren't going to be charged today, but it's hidden in the fine print. How do we know that what Jesus offers is really what he offers? Why would he not be another one of those salespeople with tricks in the fine print? Imagine after the service, little toddler starts crying and 10 people get down and open their arms and say, just come to me. 10 people. And so this toddler stands there and looks around and says, where am I supposed to go? They have a need. Which arms are going to fill that need? In the same way, there are plenty of people today who will help you and who will say they will help you get rid of this restlessness, to get rid of your burdens and your labouring and your weariness. Why should we come to Jesus? And so that's what we're focusing on today. Why Jesus? We come to Jesus because he is the greatest saviour that you can ever have. As the Belgic Confession explained, he has what no one else does. I want to show you that this afternoon in this passage. So firstly, let's look at his attitude. Jesus has an enlarged heart. He has his arms stretched wide open to you. Notice he says in verse 25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. This speaks volumes about Jesus. Here Jesus reaches out to those who know little, and he gives. Now, those who know little are little children in two ways. Firstly, those who are little children are not wise by worldly standards. The foolish worldly standards. Those who think they are wise, who think they have it all, those who think they have their finances sorted, their relationships together, they know exactly how life is supposed to work out. Jesus doesn't speak to them. He doesn't speak to the proud. He speaks to little children. Because little children, they come with their lives not sorted out. Little children come with nothing and expect everything. When they come to the dinner table, they sit down, put their hands on the table, and say, hopefully not too rudely, where's the food? Because they're expecting a meal. They don't come to mum and dad and say, well, look, I've cleaned the gutters, I painted the fence, I mowed the lawn, can I have some dinner now? It's not what we expect of our children. We expect them to come and to receive because that's what children do. Especially little children, they have nothing to give, they just take. Jesus here says it's the little children that I give to, not those who have got it all together. But he's also speaking to physically little children. You see, kids, God doesn't just speak to adults. He speaks to you. You don't have to wait till you know all that mum or dad know, all that your grandparents know, or all that Wikipedia knows. You can come to Jesus as you are. You can believe in him because that Jesus has come to pay for your sins. Because you see, Jesus stoops down. Jesus opens his arms wide and he says, come to me, come to me. That's the way that Jesus shows himself throughout the scriptures. In John's Gospel, in John chapter 4, you remember that Samaritan woman. She came to the well in the middle of the day. And that's not generally the time when people came to draw water. But she came in the middle of the day. Was she avoiding contact with people? Probably. Ostracized by her community? Probably. Jesus knew her. She was a promiscuous woman. And what does Jesus do? He draws her out of her need. And he shows her her need and he says, look, I have what you really need. Or think of the woman who had the bleeding for 12 years. She's unclean, she's unable to go to the temple, unable to go to the synagogue, and she's desperate. She spent all her money and she comes to Jesus because she knows that there she'll find what she needs. Consider the leper. You know, these lepers would walk in the countryside and call out, "Unclean, unclean." People would rush to the other side of the road to avoid them. But Jesus comes to him and touches him. Jesus knows your need, and Jesus says, "Come to me." These people have nothing to offer. They come because Jesus has an enlarged heart. It's full of love, overflowing, brimming with mercy and compassion for the weary and the heavy laden. Jesus is no up himself, touting his own programs, "Look at it, who I am." No, he's trying to entice sinners, entice you and I to come to him. It's in Jesus that you'll find rest. But not only do we see his attitude in this passage, secondly, we also see his credentials. Someone has said, before he ushers this call to come to him, he starts it off, prefaces it with his authority, and produces some of his credentials. Look at verse 27, right at the beginning. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." All things. What are these all things? What all things have been handed over to him? Well, in Matthew chapter 4, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we have Jesus in the wilderness. Right at the end of the temptation that the devil gives to Jesus, the devil says, "Look, you can have it all. Don't have to go through this. Don't have to go through the cross and all this difficulty that you're about to face. There's an easy road. Just submit to me. Just come to me. Just bow down to me. No cross, no suffering." And what did Jesus say? "Begone, Satan," and he left. Remember the man with the legion of demons in him. No one could chain him. He'd be screaming in the tombs, and people were scared of him and stayed away from him. And Jesus comes. And this man comes running up to him, and Jesus says to these demons, "Go," and they're gone. He has authority over Satan and the demons. He has authority over human ailments and handicaps. The paralytic that we read about, Jesus said, "What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk?" Well, we can't forgive sins, but to say, get up and walk, well, that's quite something. Jesus says that, and he gets up and he walks. Jesus has the power to heal. You see, we get so used to reading about these miracles, but Jesus can do that. Imagine that, get up and walk. And then, of course, not only does he have power over physical problems, physical sicknesses, but he has power over the soul. "Your sins are forgiven," he says to him. He has authority over the weather. Many of you know the story about Jesus on the lake. He's asleep in the boat. He's exhausted and he falls asleep. And his disciples are rowing or sailing across the lake. A storm comes up and it beats down and the waves are crashing over the boat. And the disciples, some of them experienced fishermen, are petrified. They wake up Jesus, "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" And what does Jesus do? He stands up and he says, "Peace, be still." And it's still. What power over the wind and the waves. Just like that, he has authority over creation. To that little girl we read about earlier, he just says, "Get up," and takes her by the hand. He doesn't get there and say, "Oh man, I was running a bit late. If only I'd been there maybe an hour earlier, then I might have been able to save her." No. He just takes her by the hand and says, "Get up." He has power over life and death. This is the Jesus that says, "Come to me, because all power has been given to me." I don't know all the problems that you face. If you're a busy mum with endless tasks and there never seems to be an end. Difficult work situations. Maybe children who have wandered away from the faith, or an illness that is just insurmountable. A difficult marriage. Jesus gives his credentials. He says, "All things have been handed over to me." All things. He has the power and he has what we need. In other places, Jesus says, "I have peace and light and love and life and joy." All the spiritual qualities have been given to him so that he is the fountain of where we receive those things. So that when we come to him, we can receive peace. We receive light and love and life and joy. and he knows what you need. No one knows the Father but the Son. And the Father, well, he knows everything, doesn't he? Remember Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me, and what? You have searched me, and you know me. You know me, you know my inmost thoughts, you know when I get up, you know when I lay down. You knew me while I was being formed in my mother's womb. You know all about me. And so Jesus says, no one knows the Father but the Son. And I know you. I know your needs. Whether we're in the depths of despair or feeling alone, we can sing with the song, no one knows the trouble I've seen. We can also sing, Jesus does. Jesus knows. He knows our struggles. Jesus has the credentials to heal us. Jesus has the credentials to give us that rest that we need. So we see who Jesus is in his attitude, his credentials, and finally, in his character. Verse 29 we read, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." It's a disposition that the world despises. Gentleness, lowliness. If you have need, if you want something, do you want someone that's proud and arrogant and unapproachable? Of course not. You want someone that is gentle and lowly. You want someone that you can go to and that you know as you lay your burdens on them, they'll not only listen, they'll not only be able to help you, they'll give you what you need. And Jesus is gentle and he is lowly. Maybe you're a father that's worried about the issues in your family, all the difficulties going on. Or a manager, the weight of responsibility you have. Students, maybe it's pressure from teachers or parents. Wanting, or friends wanting you to conform. Religion is for wimps after all, isn't it? Maybe it's just your own sin. It eats you up. Who will listen? Who will gently listen to you? Jesus says, I will. I will. I am lowly in heart. You see, Jesus is lowly, but strength and power is something that we, as those who live in the world, look up to. We think that's what we need. We need strength. We need power. We need to be able to fix the problems in our lives. That's what we need. And we want others to look up to us. And so we can put on a mask. We come to church today and we make out as if everything's okay in life, when in reality, we know it's not. We put on our best faces. We don't want to tell everyone how bad things are. Look, even preachers can do this. Not all of them, but many. Don't misunderstand. Personality is good, but you know, you shouldn't need to be someone that you're not. You want people to come into your church. You want to make your church look good. You want to make churches grow. Let's push past the 200 members mark. It's about organization and personality, about getting the right people, getting the right people in the church so that we can grow our church and stuff like that. Now, some of these things aren't wrong, but it's not what we find in Jesus. Jesus, we find someone who's gentle and lowly in heart. With Jesus, you get someone who doesn't put on a mask. He doesn't put on a certain face in the company of certain people. With Jesus, you don't get someone who puts on a fake smile. With Jesus, what you see is what you get. Here's a Jesus who's looking for children. A Jesus who's not looking for superstars to grow his movement. A Jesus who's not looking to really fire his church up with people. But no, with Jesus, you get someone who's gentle and lowly, looking for those who are willing to admit they have nothing. Which is great news, because it means we can all approach him. You know, Moses, the meekest man, we read in Numbers chapter 12, Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. Moses was the leader of God's people as they went through the desert. But even at times, Moses was not able to be approached. At times, his face shone and people went away from him. They couldn't handle seeing the glow of his face. He was removed. Not so with Jesus. That's why he went to the woman of Samaria, the promiscuous woman. That's why he spoke to the thief on the cross. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. It's why when Zacchaeus, the tax collector, climbed up in a tree to see Jesus, Jesus said, come down, I'm coming into your house today. It's why mothers and their babies could come to Jesus even when the disciples had said, "No, no, no, Jesus doesn't have time for that sort of thing." Jesus was approachable. He feasted with dinner guests, he sat down with sinners, he spoke and conversed with the unholy and the unclean. No wonder he is called a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus knows your problems. He knows your pains, he knows your burdens, he knows your needs. He understands your issues, even your sin. Even the mire that you find yourself in, no sin is too great. No promiscuity, no internet pornography. No fights with your spouse, no doubting his goodness. Not measuring up to his law. Nothing is big enough to remove you from this Jesus who calls to you, "Come to me." If you stay away, you see, it's not because he's not willing. If you stay away, it's because you won't come. So go to him again and again. This lowliness of heart literally means near the ground. Isn't that a great illustration? Near the ground. Down at our level, rubbing shoulders with us. You know, and often we like to separate ourselves from people we think are less important than us. But Jesus never does that. He stoops down, he comes down near the ground, he opens his arms wide and says, "Come to me." Jesus knows the most simple as well as the most profound. He calls on those who are professors and the little children. He calls the students, he calls the tradies. But the question is, will you come to him? Will you go to this Jesus who has an attitude of love and mercy as he draws his people, who has his credentials, he is able, all things have been handed over to him. Jesus, who is gentle and lowly in heart, he has all you need, no matter where you are, no matter who you are. No matter what you've done, what your burden is, what the mire, what the slime that is on you, he stands with his arms wide open. Will you go to him, or will you find someone else? Amen. It's now turn to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for sending us your Son, your only Son, that we can turn to him. May we see that you have given him all things and that he has the power to save us. Thank you for your mercy and grace to us. We have nothing to offer you, and still you welcome us with open arms. Mold our hearts with your Holy Spirit, that we would see and understand who you are. May we be filled with your strength and wisdom. Help us turn to Jesus again and again, because we understand some of the love and compassion that you have for your people. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen.